And the first person is the Honorable Dennis Damon.
Thank you, Senator Johnson, Representative Kumiega, members of the Joint Standing Committee on Marine Resources. I am Dennis Damon, and I live in Trenton. And having had the pleasure, the opportunity, of serving as the Senate Chair of this committee for 8 years, I'm keenly aware of the tradition that is passed along that the first time a former member of the committee comes before you, that he or she comes bearing gifts. So if I can have the clerk take this, you will recognize, and I think it's entirely appropriate, that in this committee dealing with seaweed, that I have brought you the nutritious dried seaweed that comes from areas in my district and also from around the world. Now, I can see by the expression on your faces the bit of disappointment. So perhaps it would have been better if I came before you and you were dealing with a bill about chocolate being used for lobster bait or some such other thing. But that's what you have, and I hope you enjoy it, and you'll be all the healthier for it. I've lived in Hancock County all my life, and during that time I've walked in the steps of my brothers and my father and my grandfather and my great-grandfather as fishermen. Though I am no longer a commercial fisherman, I continue to understand the importance of the sea and the plants and the animals in it. It has importance to the families that live along our coast and to the overall economy of our state. My heritage has taught me that there was money to be made from the sea. It also taught me that we must respect the sea and all that it provides. We must be aware that it provides a potentially finite food supply, and it can support us financially forever if we take care of it and if we don't become too greedy. Potentially and forever are important key words here, because they come with tremendous responsibility on the part of the fisherman and on the part of the policymaker. Both groups should want to see our economy and our well-being sustained, and the opportunity for a fast buck or an easy one must not take a higher place than the stability and the overall health of the system. As I have aged, I've become more able to connect the dots of my knowledge. I am increasingly aware that in our marine ecosystem, the interconnectedness of the individual parts to the whole is amazingly complex and delicately balanced. I have seen that what once were referred to as trash fish become treasures overnight because they suddenly gained economic value in the world marketplace. An example is the sea urchin. Once cursed by fishermen as a nuisance, suddenly turned into green gold because of an appetite for their roe by people living half a world away. They were overfished before legislation could be enacted. And I am similarly concerned about the fate of the American eel as we rush for the latest gold in the elvers. But my point is that there is no such thing as trash fish anymore. There are only species waiting for their values to rise. We are a planet of 7 billion people who need protein and who want materials that can be made from the sea's bounty. As that need and those wants continue to grow, history has shown that we will work to satisfy them as long as there is money to be made. Seaweed, also referred to as rockweed, and I'll use them interchangeably, is common vegetation growing in the intertidal regions of our coast. It's been there forever. most people have given it very little thought. You see it at low tide. You don't see it when the tide's in. It's been harvested for various reasons for more than two centuries. It's provided fertilizer for gardens, banking for houses, food, and packing materials. Now comes additional uses for rockweed. Now comes mechanical harvesting methods. Now comes greater harvests. And now comes increased risk of overharvest. It might be easy for some to say, so what? What's the big deal? There's plenty of it. What good is it anyway? Someone ought to get some gain from it. Those questions and those opinions are the very reasons that you're here today and that this committee exists. It is for you to understand the importance and to decide the fate of our rockweed. Perhaps you have seen rockweed as it lies in its brownish-green carpet on the rocks and the ledges at low tide. But how many have seen it when the tide's in? Imagine it standing 4, 6, 8 feet tall, gently, gracefully, swaying in the current as the waves wash through it to the shore. Imagine it as a forest of seaweed trees with branches spread out in an underwater canopy, moving in the captivating rhythm of the sea. And now look under that canopy and see the animal life that's abundant, the animal life that is dependent on this forest for a place to live. Small fishes, herring, alewives, pollock, tomcod, mummy chubs, crustaceans, crabs, lobsters, shrimp, and shellfish, periwinkles, whelks, clams, mussels, and quahogs that rely on that seaweed forest for nourishment, for protection, and for nursery during the critical juvenile stage of their lives. This legislature passed laws that restrict how much of the seaweed can be harvested. You know about the prohibition of cutting closer than 16 inches above the holdfast. That's intended to protect the plant from destruction. Consider for a moment what that forest will look like after that harvest. The forest, which accommodates multiple species of fish, now becomes a 16-inch tall pruned hedge. The hedge will become thicker in time, but only gradually will it regain its height. Some of the species will retain their protection and their habitat, but not all. And this is the best-case scenario. What if the harvest goes below the 16-inch threshold? The result is denuded landscape and loss of habitat. Now I return to connecting the dots and the unintended consequences. What seems like a good opportunity to make some money from something that has no other consequences. A few sessions ago, this committee struggled with the question of harvesting responsibly while recognizing the economic benefit of the rockweed. We put together a stakeholder group to provide us with the best, most responsible ways to harvest rockweed. We wanted to see if these suggestions would work in Cobbs Cook Bay. And you will note that there have been varying degrees of success with our work, but no legislation is perfect. Our rules for Cobbs Cook were collectively drafted, and they show real promise. But to throw out the standards that we've instituted in Cobbs Cook Bay as LD 585 directs, although I was pleased to hear the commissioner talk about the real effects of this, and I didn't pick them up from the language in the bill, while establishing statewide standards is unwise. Finally, while I applaud the intentions to establish a statewide harvest standards for rockweed, I want you to consider that any rules adopted, I want you to consider, as the committee, that they might be major substantive and not simply routine technical. Again, listening to the commissioner, I am encouraged that the routine technical rules will go before the Marine Resources Advisory Committee, and they should. But you are also the committee of jurisdiction, and you should have a part to play in them. So that they should be major substantive rules rather than routine technical. So I urge you not to eliminate the harvest standards currently in place in Cobscook Bay. Draw on them, if you will. Take what we have learned. Make it better. And that is called for, but do not abandon the bay entirely. And so please seek to amend, pass with an amendment, or with your amendments, LD 585. I thank you for your attention, your consideration, and don't eat too much of that seaweed all at once.
Thank you. Questions from the committee? Representative Chapman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, former senator. I do have a question. You've made quite a bit of reference to the part of the ocean ecology played by this particular species, and I'm wondering, in your experience, and especially as chair of this committee for many years, are you aware of management plans that have been developed for any species in which its ecological role with respect to a variety of other species was taken into account?
Thank you, Representative, for that question. It's a very important one, and I wish I had a more positive answer than what I'm going to tell you. It seems to me that we collectively, the legislature and the department, have made oftentimes management decisions based on economic values and economic principles at a higher level than ecological or environmental standards. This particular basic plant, if you will, before I knew more about it, I was probably as guilty as anyone, thinking that it was a nuisance and you could just get rid of it. But when I have come to learn how much it nurtures the other organisms that are so important to us, more important to us economically, in fact, than is the seaweed alone, and the damage that can happen by over-aggressive harvesting, not simply by cutting it to the 16-inch level, which provides what I tried to describe as the hedge, but also what takes away, there are animals that are attaching themselves to those trees, to those fronds that I tried to describe, and that they are inadvertently, as bycatch, being harvested. Some, by more prudent harvesters, are returned to the ocean. Many others are not. And if they're not, they're simply killed, as bycatch often is. That's a problem. That ought to be part of a management plan or part of a harvest plan, in my estimation. So I wish I could say that, boy, every time that we've identified a particular species and a harvest, we've really done it right. But I can't sadly say that that's the case. I'm not going to criticize us entirely. Certainly we shouldn't be criticized for trying. And I, again, was pleased to hear the commissioner say that the department was going to be looking at trying to develop management plans for all these species. You know what the thing that was going through my head when he said that was? We need more money. The department needs more money to do what we need to do for the ecology and for the value of our product. Welcome.
Representative Weaver.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Damon, I want to thank you for your leadership during the time we were developing the Cobscock plan. We couldn't have done it without your help and your leadership. I know I was a freshman at the time, but I just followed your lead, and we did a pretty good job. Thank you very much.
Representative, thank you. It's embarrassing sometimes to have those kinds of comments come my way, but I appreciate it nonetheless, and I think you all, for everybody who has sat in those chairs and who will sit there in the future, will do the very best that you can to try to do the right thing. And that's what I try to do.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative.
So we haven't set a time limit. Give us the written testimony and we'll